I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on the subject, God has taken the sting out of my heart. God has taken the sting out of my heart. You could say this is part two of the sermon from last week. I believe part three will be next week. Genesis 41 and 50 says this, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." The word Manasseh in Hebrew means causing to forget. It means to deprive, to forget, to be forgotten. It means to be removed. God, Joseph was saying through the birth of this first son, has taken the sting and the bite out of my heart. Now, many of us have life experience. Many of us have been on this road for a long time. And in the process of being on that road, there's been many hurts, many trials, and many tribulations, many daunting times of discouragement and depression. And I believe in this last day, God wants to spiritually birth to us Manasseh. I believe God wants to give a spiritual birth to us, that God will look upon our past and upon our memories. And not that you can take memories out of your mind or out of your system, but I believe that God desires to take the sting and take the bite out of those prior hurts and those situations that we have experienced in life. I believe God wants to give a spiritual birth in terms of Manasseh. And in terms of Ephraim, the Bible says in Hebrew, the word Ephraim means, I shall be doubly fruitful. It means fruitfulness. It means increase. It means to bear fruit. And what Joseph was saying was this, God has blessed me in spite of my brothers selling me, putting me in a pit. In spite of me being sold two times, in spite of me being conspired against by the wife of Potiphar, instead of me being free, I went to prison for 2 years and I was not guilty. But God was with me. God was with Joseph. In spite of all of this, I became the second most powerful man in the world, and God has blessed me and God has made me fruitful. I believe in the last day that God wants to spiritually birth Manasseh, praise God, in our lives and take the sting out of our memories. But not only that, I believe God wants to bless us doubly, praise God, with the fruits, hallelujah, and with the increase so that we can do the work of God. I said, are you with me this morning? And we're seeing that. We're seeing that double blessing. We're seeing that double fruitfulness. Now, what happened with Joseph? What happened in this situation? The Bible says in Genesis 41 and 53, and there were 7 years of plentiness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. He gave the dream interpretation. And he told Pharaoh that we need to go have a plan for 7 years of harvest. Because after the 7 years of harvest and bounty and blessing and increase, there will be 7 years of famine. You know, most people never plan. The prudent man looks ahead. Not that we're to worry or to fear about tomorrow, but the prudent man looks ahead. The prudent man plans. The prudent man has some savings to the side. The prudent man has a few extra jars of peanut butter stashed somewhere. The prudent man has some water in his basement just in case. The prudent man has a car that works. The prudent man knows what he's doing. And I believe that God showed Joseph as a type and shadow to come, praise God, for our lives, that we should prepare in these last and final hours, that we should have the skills, that we should have have the worthy skills that God wants to give us to be stewards over our house. The Bible says, and the 7 years of dearth, the 7 years of famine began to come, according to Joseph, what he said. And the Bible says, all the land of Egypt, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Why was there bread in the land of Egypt? Because Joseph was a good manager of his home. He was a good manager at work. And Joseph had skills that God put to work to bless eventually the entire world. And when all the land of Egypt was famished and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph and do what he says to do. And the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries, listen to the word of God, came into Egypt to Joseph. Praise God. This Joseph, who at 17 years old was thrown in a pit without food and without water. This Joseph that was sold into slavery twice. This Joseph that was conspired against by Potiphar's wife. This Joseph that spent 2 years in jail, praise God, for doing nothing. This Joseph, God said to Pharaoh, go tell the people, go to Joseph. I believe in the last day, we will be those Josephs. I believe in the last day, people will come to us for hope, for plenty. I believe we need to prepare not only for ourselves, but for others that will knock on your door. My God, it's a time, praise God, of harvest. It's not a time of famine yet in America, but I believe the day will come when a depression will come, when all discouragement will come upon the face of our country. And God's people, the Josephs in this world, those that God will raise up, will have a word in that hour of misery, will have food and bread in that hour of famine, will have the words of God to give hope to other human beings. Amen. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn because the famine was so sore in all the lands. Listen, recently I Googled, down in Venezuela there were food riots. I prophesied about this some months ago, that there would be food riots in the world. And I was looking and I'm saying, what's going on here? Just the other day, the governor of California said to the people, you need to have at least 5 days of supply. This is secular people. This isn't priestly people. This isn't godly people. These are people in the world that are trying to tell us. New York State has put out an emergency bulletin, an emergency pamphlet that you can go online and see, and it tells you to prepare for the future. There can be winter storms. There can be ice storms. The grid could go out. But most people live from day to day and from paycheck to paycheck. It's time that God, praise God, we come to him and God bless us and God give us that double fruit. But we must be good stewards over what God has given us. We don't own anything. It all belongs to God. All we are managers, like Joseph was in Pharaoh's house. We are managers of what God has given us. The famine spread to all the earth. And who did God put in charge of this great issue? He put Joseph in charge. Why? Because the Bible says God was with him. Joseph was a manager and had management skills that could be relied upon. He didn't walk around the earth and say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. When the crisis came, he didn't have his thumb in his mouth and walk around in circles and say, I don't know. I have no clue. I'm clueless. It's time to get ready now. It's time to be prepared now. You say, Pastor, isn't that fearful preaching? No, it's prudent preaching. It's in the Word of God. In the book of Acts, the prophet came to the church and said, there is going to be a famine. My God, don't you think that's going to happen today? Read it in the book of Acts. And they prepared for the famine. They distributed food. They distributed money to the churches so that the Christian people could survive and, praise God, do the work of God. This church just sent $1,330. We have another $100 that came in to Ethiopia. Why? How many millions? 10 million? 20 million? people will probably starve to death with no food. We take it for granted that we can go to the grocery store. We take it for granted that we have pizza places and hamburger places and department stores. We take it for granted. But my friends, it's not that way in many foreign countries, and many of our brothers and sisters are in need. My God, we have plenty. We should give them some of what we have. Praise God. I'm not talking about socialism. I'm talking about Christianity. We should help our brothers and sisters in need. Praise God. By helping them in the mission field. We have forgotten them, people. We have forgotten the persecuted church. 20 to 25% of the entire monies that come into this church leave this church, not in my pocket, but leave this church for the mission field. Leave this church for missionaries and poor people and orphanages that we support yearly and day after day and year after year. We can hold that money and hoard it. We can take that money and use it for ourselves. I can enhance my salary as a pastor. I don't. Because my burden is for children. My burden is for the orphanages. My burden is for people that are giving up their lives and going to foreign soils and foreign lands. And my God, it's dangerous out there. It's not only dangerous in America, but it's more dangerous out there to proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's up to us to support them. It's up to us to be good stewards. It's up to us to give of our tithe and our offering to God. And you know I never preach on that, but that's being a good manager in the last day for Jesus. We are to be Josephs in the house of God. Joseph had management skills. He managed all the affairs of Potiphar's house. He managed all the prisoners because the warden gave him express authority over all prisoners in the jail for 2 years. He was put in charge of Pharaoh's affairs and of the whole land of Egypt. This young man had skills. This young man knew the direction he was going. Do you know why? Because God was with him. You leave God out of your life and you're walking around in circles. You leave God out of your life and you don't know the purpose for your life. You leave God out of your life and you have no idea why you were conceived in your mother's womb. And if you leave God out of your life long enough, you'll end up in sin and you'll end up in trouble and you'll end up breaking the heart of your mother and the heart of your father. Read the book of Proverbs. Listen, read the book of Proverbs. You cannot go against those principles and expect to prosper. You cannot go outside the word of God. You can't go what we call ex cathedra, outside the word of God. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is God's law to his people. And when we go by God's law, we'll be blessed. And when we violate God's law, he says we'll be cursed. Read the book of Deuteronomy. And people find it mysterious why some people are blessed and some people are not. Joseph was humble. He was trustworthy. He was powerful but lowly. Listen, when God elevates you and God promotes you, never forget where you came from. A lot of people I've met in my lifetime, in the religious circles, in the secular world, in the government that where I worked for almost 20 years, I've met people that forgot where they came from. Their nose is so high in the air, they think their feet don't stink anymore. My God and Almighty, what's wrong with people? You got to remain humble. You got to remain low. And when you remain humble and low, God will exalt you. And God exalted Joseph, and he became the second most powerful man in the world, but he was lowly and humble. From 17 years old to 30 years old, Joseph displayed a steady stream of growth and maturity. Some people say today it's hard to live for God. It's hard to live for God, Pastor. There was three Hebrew children that were thrown into a fiery furnace and said, "We will not give up our faith." There was a great man of God by the name of Daniel who prayed and opened his window even though there was a decree against him and went into the lion's den. There was Noah and his sons who helped build that boat. There was young men throughout the Bible like Stephen and Timothy and so on and so forth. And people say, "You can't live for God today, Pastor." I want to tell you, you can live for God today if you give your heart and your life to God and say, "God, I want you inside of me and I want you to anoint me with that Holy Spirit power." if you want to just flounder around on the internet, if you want to flounder around on your cell phone, if you want to flounder around on your videos and your PlayStation nonsense, then my God, you're going to go nowhere. But if you'll take some of that time, praise God, and put your nose in God's word and come to the altar and praise God and worship God, God will do something for you. God will anoint you, and you'll be able to say, and God was with me. Famine hit everybody, even Jacob's home. And Jacob was a rich man. Genesis 42 and 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? I'll explain that. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. You know, one of the greatest sins in Christianity is procrastination. Procrastination. That's a real fancy word. But it's one of the number one enemies of our soul. Because you know what procrastination means? It means deferment, postponement, stalling, delay, putting off, making a decision. Jacob looks at his sons and he says, what are you doing? You got your thumb in your mouth. You're all grown men. We have no food, even though we're rich. We have plenty of money. We have gold and silver. I hear that there's corn down in the storehouse in Egypt, and you're looking at one another like, duh, I don't know. I don't know. What should we do, Dad? What should you do? You should get on your horse. You should get on your mule. You should get the wagon. You should go to Egypt, and you should go get some food, because if you don't, we're all going to die and starve to death. And you're procrastinating. I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. What movie do you want to watch? I don't know. I don't know. And it gets so bad with some people, they don't even say, I don't know anymore. They just shrug their shoulders like this. And they put the face. Like it's an effort to speak. Listen, we need to be precise in these days. We need to know what we're doing. We need to make decisions through Christ and through His Holy Spirit. It's no time to look around and say, oh, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Whatever. We use cliches. Whatever. What does that mean when you have no food? Whatever. That doesn't feed me. When you say, I don't have a clue, that doesn't give me a sandwich. I need substance. Anything, peanut butter, jelly, praise God, whatever. Peanut butter and fluff, whatever. I'll take it. It's something. It's food. Procrastination is an enemy. We must look at situations clearly and realistically in order to make proper decisions. In this instance, Jacob was wise in seeing the situation clearly and prompting his sons to get off their spiritual duffs and go down to Egypt and buy some corn. Listen, this is not a mystery. You have no food, boys. There's 10 of you. There's no food. Dad is saying, why are you looking at each other? And that's what people are doing in the last day. They're going to be looking at each other because they haven't prepared for the hour that's coming upon the face of the earth. You know what we're doing? We're putting it out of our mind. Oh, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. We're America. Come on. God's with America. We send more missionaries out. We feed more people. We give more medicine to foreign countries. We do this. We do that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But have you ever seen your country in the condition spiritually, morally, and economically that it's in right now? Have you ever seen that? No, you haven't. I want to tell you something. Even people who aren't Christians are walking the hallways at work wondering, what's going to go on, Rev? What's happening? There's people that are saying, is this the end of the world? I counseled with someone just last week crying. And I said, what are you crying about? They said that they were reading the book of Revelation, Pastor. I said, okay. And they say, there may not be an election in November. There might be a great tragedy that's going to happen. The military is going to take over. And this person was crying. I said, honey, that might happen. That's a possibility. I don't know. But you know what I do know? I know Jesus. And no matter what happens in November, December, January, February, or 10 or 5 years from now or 5 minutes from now, I know one thing. God is with me. And I know one thing. My foundation is sure. I know one thing. Jesus Christ cares about me. How about you? 10 older sons of Jacob, Genesis 42 and 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them, and said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now, isn't this interesting? The same brothers that discarded him, the same brothers that told their dad Joseph died and a beast got him and all this other stuff, are the same brothers that come back and are facing him face to face and don't recognize him. But now Joseph, as in the dream that he had when they called him the dreamer cometh, said that he would be a ruler and that he would rule over his brothers. And they made fun of him and they were jealous of him, and that's why they conspired against him. Now they were standing in front of the second most powerful man in the world. That's God. That's God bringing things around full circle. That's God giving closure. You see, I already told you that God, through the birth of Manasseh, took the sting out of the pit. Took the sting out of being sold into slavery. Took the sting out of the conspiracy of Potiphar's wife. Took the sting out of 2 years in prison for doing nothing wrong. Memory was still there, but the sting of that hurt was no longer biting him and plaguing him and terrifying him. And now he's face to face with his brothers. And look what it says in Genesis 42 and 7, because I told you, you don't forget your memories. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them, and said, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered, look at the words, and Joseph remembered. What did he remember? He remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land you are come. Why would God say he remembered the dreams? Because a lot of people mistake forgiveness, taking the sting out, the hurts of life, and they don't understand what God has done for them. You see, when you're hurt deeply, it's a memory. And everything that happens to you has been recorded on your central nervous system. And certain stimuli in certain environments will bring those certain things back to you. For example, if you were raised in the 60s, you can get in a room with baby boomers and start talking about the old TV programs. You might remember just one. But as you're sitting around in a room with a bunch of baby boomers and you're saying, hey, what were the programs on when we were growing up? All of a sudden, someone remembers a program. Then you remember, oh, I remember another one, and I remember another one. Because in that area of stimulation, your central nervous system, your computer, your brain is now going back and searching, because you've got the greatest computer in the whole world is your brain. And God brings those things up. Some people think that, oh, my God, I still have a memory, so maybe I haven't forgiven that person. No. You probably have forgiven that person. And God has taken the sting out of that pain and out of that hurt, but the memory is still there. Because if it wasn't, God would not say this. God would not have given Joseph a boy by the name of Manasseh, which meant in Hebrew to take the sting out and take the bite out. But now God is recalling to Joseph, he remembered the dreams. And people get stuck there. And they get stuck there with guilt and shame and condemnation because they say, oh, I'm remembering it, So maybe I didn't forgive the person. No, you're remembering it because your computer, your brain has stored it. But God, through his Spirit and through forgiveness and through love, has taken away the pain of that and the sting of that. It's kind of like when you get a bee sting. When you first get a bee sting, wow, it hurts. Then you take some Benadryl, whatever, and then a few hours later, the sting of that hurt is gone. The bump is there. The bruise is there. The swelling might be there. And you remember that. But the sting is gone. Joseph remembered the dreams. He didn't want his brothers to know him at this moment. But now he's recollecting. And he says in Genesis 42 and 11, and this is the reason that Joseph did not reveal himself to his brothers, because God is always on time. We are all one man's son, they said. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. Joseph knew that. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, that was Benjamin, and one is not, and that was Joseph. And they're looking at Joseph. Joseph said unto them, that is that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. What? These guys are saying, you want to make a deal? What's the deal? Behind door number one, and there is only one door. Because Joseph is the boss right now. Joseph is in charge. There is no other deal. This is the deal. And what is the deal? Joseph said unto them the third day, Genesis 42 and 18, this do and live. This is it. This is the deal. This is on the table. For I fear God, he said, if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. What was he saying? You're going to keep one of your brothers here, I'm going to imprison. And you're going to go back home, and you're going to get your young brother Benjamin, so I can verify that you are true men and you're telling me the truth from where you came. This is the deal. What happened to these men? In Genesis chapter 42 and 21, listen, I want to tell you, when you don't forgive, when you don't allow God to take the sting out of the hurt, when you don't let God take the bite out of what's happened to you in the past, this is what happens. And they said to one another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Do you know what they're saying? Do you know when they put him in the pit? And when they put him in the pit, they sat down next to the pit and had a picnic. You read it in the Bible. They ate lunch together. This reminds me of when people die. The body isn't even cold, and people are fighting over the estate. That's mine. That's mine. And relatives come out of the woodwork that you don't even know are your relatives, and they show up at the wake and the funeral, and they say, well, she promised me this. And you're looking at them and saying, and who are you? Who are you? I don't even know you. Well, where have you been for the last 10 years? When we've been taking care of this loved one that you say you love, and all of a sudden you show up. Where have you been? Where have you been? We haven't seen you. You know what happened? When they were eating lunch and they saw the Ishmaelites coming up the road, one brother said to the other, let's not kill them. Maybe we can get some money. And they made a deal with the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And you know what this distress and anguish was? You know what they were remembering? Look at this once again. Look at the verse. We're verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. You know what that means? When the Ishmaelites were pulling Joseph out of the pit, Joseph must have looked back at them with a look on his face and saying, I'm a 17-year-old boy. I mind my own business. I do what my dad tells me to do. And you 10 lugs, you 10 older brothers that are supposed to watch out for me, you've put me in this pit to die without food and without water. And now you're selling me into slavery. That look upon Joseph's face is one they never forgot. They never forgot. And now they're feeling their guilt and their shame, and God's doing them a favor. And Reuben answered and said, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child? Oh, now we're going to do the blame game.